with the leisure man, the leisure man, the leisure man, the leisure man, the leisure man.
Welcome to the Leisureman Podcast on NBC Sports. I'm Paul Papp. He's Andrew Perloff. We're your masters of ceremony. Now, this is a weird time to release a podcast. This podcast is going out about 3 p.m. Eastern today. Some people will hear this podcast. Of the millions of people who tune into this podcast every week, Andrew, a lot of people may hear it after the NBA draft lottery is over tonight. So we are doing this before the results are in of the draft lottery.
Yeah, so, you know, it's not ideal, but let's face it, the league has probably fixed the draft lottery anyway.
Wow, that's Andrew Perloff said that.
All right, this is pre-lottery. Everyone's been talking about the Knicks, which makes me think the Knicks are the last team that's going to win. This is pure blind luck and ping pong balls. But doesn't it feel like everyone's been talking about the Knicks so much it makes it harder for them to win for some bizarre reason?
It does. It feels like it'll be a disappointment if the Knicks don't win and they only have a 14% chance. And when you have a 14% chance of anything, you're expected to lose.
Now, you're a Bulls fan and you're in the mix. You're not that far behind the Knicks even. But no one's talking about Zion to the Bulls. How amazing would that be?
It would be. It'd be good because they have a decent team around him, but they don't have an alpha. They don't really have an alpha on that team.
So couldn't Zion be the alpha?
Oh, there's no doubt. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, he fit well. Okay,
I think he fits pretty well because there's some nice players around him. Lauri Markkanen, Zach LaVine, but they're not 30-point-a-game guys. They're not 25-12 guys.
Yeah, it'd be a nice fit. I like the outside shooting around Zion. Like, and there another team, Atlanta. You know, Atlanta came on at the end of the year with Trae Young. Can you imagine how exciting that team would be, Trae Young and Zion?
You know how hard it is to make the Atlanta Hawks fascinating? But you got Trae Young, a really engaging outside shooter, pretty well known, too, coming out of college. And then you got Zion, which is a household name. Here's the thing I was thinking about. Is there any reason you would think that Zion Williamson won't be a great NBA player?
Well,
like, if you look at his game, and we'll regret saying this later, but if there's anything that you said, like, you know, I'm just not sure about that.
Well, the injuries. Are we taking away injuries?
Take away injuries. Just his game.
Oh, no. There's no way. There's no way he's not good.
Not too size? He's 6'7", okay?
Well, you know, people are worrying that he's going to come in at 6'5". Because the combines this week in Chicago, that's a big concern. And he might not get measured. But what if he was 6'5"? Would that change? I mean, we watched Barkley dominate at 6'4.5", 6'5". I don't care.
Barkley is such a once-in-a-lifetime player.
It feels like this is the second time we've seen him.
Right. And Zion already has a better outside shot than Barkley did at the same age.
Yeah. That's the other concern. Outside shot. Can he shoot in today's NBA? I guess that's my concern.
The only question about his shot for me is it seems like it's like a setup shot. Like he gets it and sets up and launches it. And he's got a good percentage from three, but it doesn't feel like he's a quick release guy. Now, again, he's not even 19 years old yet.
Yeah. Well, I guess all that matters is you respect him enough so he can drive by you. That's like what Giannis, you know, shoots the threes just so you're respectable. So he only needs a little one. I'm pretty confident he's a good defensive player, but will he foul guys? That's the other thing. He gets in foul trouble a lot. But we're nitpicking. I mean, from an excitement level, what's the last time you've been this excited about a draft pick? For me, LeBron James. That's my exact answer.
I thought of some others today, like John Wall, I was pretty excited about. You had to go back when they were, Yao Ming, I was pretty excited about.
Right.
But that's, again, 20 years ago almost.
Yeah, and even you mentioned today on the DP show, Greg Oden. Like, yeah, I always thought he was going to be great, but I wasn't excited like this.
Yeah, there weren't highlights amongst Greg Oden's game. The one thing about Zion, I guess I'm curious about is I love his vision. He's got really good court vision. He passes well. He sees the court fantastically. And I really think that once he gets in an NBA system with their regimen of eating and lifting, he's going to tighten all that up. I guess I don't know who I'd compare him to. If you look at Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's at least 3 inches taller, if not more, and much more sculpted, if his rookie year, he was not that sculpted. If you go, I looked at the pictures the other day because I was fascinated by how jacked Giannis is.
Yeah.
Zion, I think, in 3 years is going to be jacked, not just big and dumpy.
Interesting. There's a picture of him on the cover of Slam magazine. He's ripped.
Ripped.
He's ripped. So I agree. That's a great point. Fitness. Yeah, but then again, Joel Embiid is just sort of doubled in size every year. It doesn't always happen. I don't know. Giannis, it's interesting. I got to see these pictures. But he had the frame to be muscular.
Oh, he was there. It just was. It's like it's all tightened up.
Yeah, I like it, man. I'm not that into college basketball. This year, I probably watched 28
because of one guy.
One guy. Who are we going to watch next year? Is there another Zion? It only comes around every 5 years.
There's not a hot high school player right now. I'm not going very far. I'm in a rush. It's too uncomfortable. Sometimes I just forget. Don't kid yourself. There's no such thing as a good excuse for not buckling up. If you've used any of the excuses before, you're putting yourself at risk of injury or death. Come on, you know better. It's 2017, Perloff.
Paulie, I've gotten in your truck before, and even if I'm slow on the seatbelt, you start giving me a hard time.
I'm a gentleman, but I like a tight window of seatbelt engagement before I put the car in park.
Yeah,
in gear.
And you and I have been in some dicey spots in Vermont, too, where you almost killed me. You slid off the road that one time, but I was wearing a seatbelt.
You were belted in. 2017, more than 10,000 people were unbuckled when they were killed in crashes. Come on, man. That's 51% of people killed in motor vehicle crashes that were not wearing seatbelts. No matter what kind of vehicle you drive, wearing your seatbelt is the best defense in a crash. In 2017 alone, seatbelts saved nearly 15,000 lives. So do the smart thing, the obvious thing, and buckle up every trip, day or night. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA. All right, next topic real quick before we move on. Game of Thrones. Watched the entire episode last night. I got to tell you, you know, as much as I'm not a huge fan of the show, mostly because I didn't watch it, and I liked, I watched like a little bit the first, I'd say two seasons, when it was more...
Like a political drama, almost. Like a medieval political drama.
Yes, which I liked that part of
yeah.
it. It seemed like there was a lot more dialogue.
You're not alone on that one.
A lot less fire-breathing dragons and a lot more dialogue the first 2 years. I mean, I think that's fair.
Absolutely. Well, here are a couple of reasons behind that. There was a book series that it was based on that was this intricate political fantasy medieval thing.
Okay.
The books stopped at a certain point. Now they have three seasons with the actors under contract where they have to wrap up all these plot lines. So it feels more like a Marvel movie or something. It feels more like something completely different. You're exactly right that there's almost two different shows completely.
It feels like it. Now, I'm not saying it's not great, but it's great because it's impressive. I watched last night and the CGI, the editing, the shots they had overhead, boulders falling down. It's like they're making a movie. I know there's only six episodes this year, but I can't imagine how long yesterday's episode took to make.
Oh, it's unbelievable. And there's like four countries involved. There's like in Northern Ireland and Serbia. It's incredible. The acting, by the way, all British actors. Could we just admit that British actors are way better than American actors?
I'll take. What's the name of the girl with the blonde hair, the
Oh, Daenerys? Cersei? Oh, no, Daenerys? Yeah, what is her name?
Why is she so mean-spirited? I was watching the episode last night, and she's on the back of the fire-breathing dragon.
Yeah.
And I understand her having the dragon breathe fire on the
on the bad guy, Cersei, yeah.
Cersei and the queen and taking over the castle and then the soldiers, fine. They're there. They know what they're getting into. But all the townspeople, why not leave them alone?
It's like, This is sort of like you're coming in on the last episode of General Hospital after 40 years. You can't jump in on these conversations.
I'm jumping in.
Well, yeah, I mean, like that's a long layered history that goes back to the deserts of Marine and her relationship with Yang Guai.
Right, right.
Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. I made that one up, but dude,
you should tell me things about Game of Thrones.
So I was driving home from Boston this weekend. And we wanted to listen to a Game of Thrones podcast. My wife's into it. We Googled the top 10 Game of Thrones podcasts. The number one was called like Bend the Knee or something. And we were like, all right, this sounds good. We'll click on it. It was 3 hours and 45 minutes recapping episode 4. They had eight experts, like four like high-end Vanity Fair experts. Like it was ridiculous. You have the media industry that has cropped up around Game of Thrones. But can you imagine a three-hour conversation about one show?
No, and I almost wish The Sopranos debuted now instead of in the late 90s.
It would have been an explosion. You're so right, because Game of Thrones has really benefited from social media. I think The Last Sopranos would have broken Twitter.
You know, there's a story out there, and everyone knows they're shooting right now. I think it's called the Saints of Newark or something like that. It's the prequel to Sopranos, but it's a movie, not a TV show. I think it's a big whiff by... Is it David Chase?
David Chase, the creator.
I understand he may not want to go through the grind of doing a weekly television show again. But if you said there's going to be a three-season run of a Sopranos prequel, eight episodes a year, gold mine. And instead of one two-hour movie that
won't be great.
It'll probably be really nice and fill the void. But man, in this current culture, if you said there's a three-season Sopranos prequel, I'm all in.
Maybe the issue is you fear that you'll never recreate the magic of the first series. So, you know, like, there's Better Call Saul after Breaking Bad, which is good. But I think there's a big fear. Like, you can't, like, the creators of MASH just tried another show, and it's like, the next show is never as good.
That has to be the reasoning.
Yeah.
You don't want to sully your brand.
By the way, like, I don't line up for movie tickets. I'm lining up for that movie. How excited are you? Oh, aren't you excited for The Saints of Newark?
Yes.
You're the biggest, one of the biggest Sopranos fans I know. I'm right there with you. Jimmy Traina is the other one. Like,
yes.
It's amazing. Like, if you want to start a conversation about what happens when the screen goes black in the last episode, we could be here for 3 hours and 45 minutes.
Man, I love it. I wish we could go back.
And the last episode of Game of Thrones is this Sunday. That's interesting. Like, that's like the last episode of Sopranos. Like, last episodes generally have a lot. They have a big burden. I mean, you got to wrap up a 10 years of a series in one night. Can they do it? I mean, think about some of the great last episodes.
It's ripe for disappointment because you can never satisfy everybody. They're going to have a monstrous twist that blows people's doors off.
Absolutely. You know, HBO filmed multiple versions, so spoilers wouldn't get out there, which a lot of...
Smart.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of some like last shows that stick out to me. There was 6 Feet Under where they showed the deaths of every character.
I think the last episode of 6 Feet Under is very well done and impactful. Like, they went off and you're like, oh my, that's well done.
Yeah, you like, I mean... Either you cry or get like a little missy on that one. What's another episode? The last Newhart where there was a second Newhart series where he wakes up and it's a dream from the first Newhart series.
Very snarky.
Yeah, I like that. Do you remember the last MASH was a big deal? I think it was the highest rated TV show for a long time.
Yeah, there was only three channels back then, but it was Alan Alda and MASH. They wrapped up. The show was on twice as long as the Korean War was on.
Yeah, but it was, when we were really little, that was the big show.
That and Happy Days, but MASH lasted much longer. Happy Days had a 3-year run where their number one show, and then it got a little hokey and went all over the place. But MASH had a much more depth as a sitcom.
So are you going to watch, you'll probably watch the last episode live.
Sure. Right? Oh, yeah.
I'll
try.
Billions, too, is the problem. You got a Billions problem.
I'm a Billions guy.
Yeah, no, but most people, it's funny because most of the fans that I know that are Game of Thrones fans love Billions too. The two are like thematically not different. Brian Koppelman, the creator, loves Game of Thrones too.
I'll tell you, Billions is going the same, similar direction, but I think in a good way as Game of Thrones, where the first 2 years were a little more sedate. There was some high tension moments, but it meandered a little bit and had a more mom and pop feel of Billions. And now it's like everything's like intense and I'm going to get them. I'm going to take them down. And there's more intensity to it.
It's explosive this year. I noticed that.
They always have comic relief though. And it was really good. There's a great scene in Billions. Dollar Bill Stern in the last episode, spoiler alert, he hooks up with Bonnie in the office. And he's notorious, Dollar Bill Stern, because he has two families, because he has two minivans.
Yeah.
And she like asks him something like, are you any good? He goes, I don't have two wives for nothing. She grabs his keys and opens the power door of his minivan and throws him in it and just starts going to town on him. And it's a great scene. It's a really good scene. All right, here's a thought I have. I'm going to pitch this as an idea as if I'm HBO. Okay, you restart The Sopranos from season one and do it for an entire, how many episodes are there? There's probably 5 or 6 seasons. Let's say there's 90 Sopranos episodes total, maybe, or maybe less.
Let's
say there's
like
70.
Okay.
For a year and change, you do one every week on Sunday night at whatever time you want to do it. But here's the thing. After every episode, or as those episodes are going on, you take characters that were in that episode and have them live tweet the episode of what was going on around it.
Ooh, I love it.
And so go back to episode one and you get Michael Imperioli and other actors to live tweet, and they take turns. They have a rotation. They get paid to do it by HBO. And then at the end of it, there's a live chat, web chat, whatever you want to do, with the actor who was live tweeting along with the show. And almost like a new generation, like Friends is new. A lot of people are watching Friends again. Imagine if a new generation watched Sopranos from the start, and they made it more of like an event.
Love it.
And they surrounded it with digital media, social media coverage that gave you background. So imagine Michael Imperioli, who played Christopher Moltisanti, saying, this was my first scene. In my first scene, I actually had to kill a guy. And they give you a gun, and you're like, I've never held a gun before. And he walks you through it, and how many takes, and oh my God, I would be captivated by something like that. I'm hardcore Sopranos, though.
Yeah, me too. Here's my one concern. I rewatched season one of Sopranos about a month ago.
It's different.
It's great. The problem is, after the first episode, I could not wait for the second episode.
Yeah.
Will you go back and find a way to binge it and stream it somehow? So you don't know this, but I stayed up till 1:30 on like a Wednesday night. Came in the next day, it was a disaster. And you know what I did? Okay, you might think this is weak, but I just fast-forwarded it to the scenes that were about the organized crime element. I fast-forwarded a lot of the family drama.
I've done that.
I wanted to see.
But then again, you've seen them.
I've seen them, but I absolutely, and those are great. But I did want to see how, remember Tony and Junior were at war in season one?
Yeah.
By the way, we could, again, we could do Let's it 3 hours about
episode by episode.
Junior is a lot tougher in the first season.
Oh, yeah. He wanted to be the boss. He wasn't like that old man who's feeble.
Yeah. I think they might have gone a little too feeble with him. We should do a side Sopranos podcast, by the way. Oh, why don't we just do this?
Why don't we go episode by episode and talk about it?
And we can have like Michael Imperioli on it. What's he doing?
He actually probably will not do our podcast, I heard.
Michael Imperioli? Oh, yeah. Now I said, what's he doing?
Don't take a chance of being stranded. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and get your battery tested. Don't wait till it goes bad. Get it tested now. It's free of charge and one of many services available. Find out if your battery needs to be replaced before it goes bad. You don't want to be on the side of the road saying, I wish I went to O'Reilly Auto Parts. That's my imitation pearl off of a guy who screwed up.
Yeah, and you know, I've been there before, man, where recently... I'm starting to worry about my brakes, and I might have to do something about this.
I know what you should do. You should go to O'Reilly Auto Parts to get your battery and your brakes tested. They're professional parts people. They'll help you find the exact battery, brakes, or whatever you need for your car and truck.
So every time I back up, by the way, there's a little bit of a squeaking noise.
Talk
That's
to them.
Bad, right?
Talk to them, not me. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
All right. I got an NBA
game. All right. Let's get back to some sports. Yeah. What NBA games you
Okay.
Have?
So I'm on a series of Sixers fans text chains. My dad texts me, my friends, John and Andrew. There's a lot of Ben Simmons trade talk. So you're the Sixers GM. The Lakers call and say, we'll give you LeBron James for Ben Simmons. Do you do it?
No.
You're the Sixers and you don't take LeBron James?
No, he's got too many miles on him. I don't know if it's a
but
hard
But then you
no.
get Joel and LeBron for 1 year. I know.
Two great years. Okay, how about this? If you truly don't think that Ben Simmons has an upside of more than what it is now, then yeah. But you have to know that I don't know that.
Yeah, this, by the way, was a report from Tom Haberstraw that the Sixers are trying to explore that specific trade. The other trade, Anthony Davis, if you're Sixers and you call New Orleans and say, hey, we'll give you Ben Simmons for Anthony Davis, which is also possible. Would you do that one for the Sixers? I know you like Anthony.
Wait, say that one again.
So you're the Sixers. We'll give you Ben Simmons, 22, for Anthony Davis, 26.
I would do that in a second if I were the Sixers.
But you wouldn't do LeBron?
Anthony Davis is what?
26, yeah.
Yeah, and way less mileage.
Yeah, but he's always hurt, and how do you put Embiid
Shoot,
and
I'd
Davis?
Give Embiid for Anthony Davis.
That's another one. Would you do Embiid for LeBron? Think about that one.
No, because a healthy Embiid is tough to deal with.
Yeah, but
you have to roll the dice that he may be healthy for the next 4 or 5 years.
We got to roll the... Okay, man, that's what you do. You just solved it. You go Embiid for Davis, then you join Davis and Simmons.
All right.
That's a little better than Embiid, and would you have kept the coach?
I would have kept him. I don't think he's the problem. I think that the chemistry on that team... it does. I think they need a few more role players who bang.
Am I being like homerism to single out this one team to talk about? Or are the Sixers nationally interesting? I'm having trouble getting a sense.
I find them interesting because anytime you got star power that's not working.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. It's working well, but not great. Like Ben Simmons, when I saw him in the McDonald's All-American game, I'm like, oh, there's a taller Magic Johnson.
Yeah.
I didn't realize at that juncture he couldn't shoot a basketball.
Yeah, I feel like the Sixers are a little more interesting than your average. Like, the Raptors are not interesting to me. I mean...
Well, there's teams that are good, and there's teams that have drama, and they're good, and drama, and they're bad. There's drama with the Celtics. There's drama with the Sixers.
Oh, the Celtics are fascinating.
Like, the Bulls are up and coming, but there's not drama. But
not yet.
They're fun to watch. What's a good team? Like, Toronto, the only drama is there is their... Kawhi Leonard is back to MVP caliber, and he may leave them.
Yeah. The Blazers are fun, but not drama.
Not drama. But good.
The Warriors have drama.
Denver has no drama. Warriors have off-season drama, not regular season drama.
I don't know. Do you think they all get along?
I don't think they need... Not get along. Like, get along. When you're winning and rolling, you could ignore the faults of your coworkers. I find that. I've worked in places before, which are great jobs, and I've got coworkers who I don't get along with. When things are going well for you personally and professionally, you could ignore a lot. When things go bad, that's when the... knives come out, I think. So, like, if Steph Curry and Kevin Durant don't socialize, I don't think they give a damn. I have coworkers that I've never seen their house before.
Yeah. You know what's really funny? To me, the NBA is the closest analogy to what the daily workspace that everyone has. Like, NBA teams, you've said this before, we're closer to them. We know them. Like, these are guys, like, we feel like we understand the working relationship between these guys. I don't know in any other sport.
Yeah, if you're J.J. Watt, you don't necessarily have to get along too well with Deshaun Watson because you're never on the field at the same time. You're never really practicing together. You don't rely on each other.
Right. You don't need to catch a pass from the wide receivers rely on the quarterbacks. That's like basketball.
Yes.
But J.J. Watt doesn't matter what the safety does.
They don't interact that much. Like now, if you're on the same defense or offense, if you found a player that wasn't pulling his weight, we would never see that. I could see you going, man, I want that guy out of here.
I'm sure it happens, but you know they have helmets on. We don't see them. NBA, we get this idea that we feel like we know Kevin Durant, and we probably don't, but there's just something. I think it's one of the reasons people like to talk about the NBA, but everybody watches the NFL.
Speaking of J.J. Watt, he did the commencement address at University of Wisconsin the other day, and he nailed it. He gave him a lot of positive vibes, of course. He's J.J. Watt. But he talked a little beer, a little Spotted Cow, a lot of references of people being hungover the next day, which played well to the crowd. If you could go back or graduate now and you could pick your commencement speaker, and it could be a serious person or a funny person.
Yeah.
And I could take you back to when you graduated, early 90s.
Do you want to have a graduate of your college? I think that we should contain it.
No.
Okay. Like, well, I got mine. Mine is easy, and I'm sure you would pick him too. Bill Murray.
Ooh, Bill Murray. What if, oh man.
Come on.
I'm not going very far. I'm in a rush. It's too uncomfortable. Sometimes I just forget. Don't kid yourself. There's no such thing as a good excuse for not buckling up. If you've used any of the excuses before, you're putting yourself at risk of injury or death. Come on, you know better. It's 2017, Perloff.
Paul, I've gotten in your truck before, and even if I'm slow on the seatbelt, you start giving me a hard time.
I'm a gentleman, but I like a tight window of seatbelt engagement before I put the car in park.
Yeah.
In gear.
And you and I have been in some dicey spots in Vermont too, where you almost killed me. You slid off the road that one time, but I was wearing a seatbelt.
You were belted in. 2017, more than 10,000 people were unbuckled when they were killed in crashes. Come on, man. That's 51% of people killed in motor vehicle crashes that were not wearing seatbelts. No matter what kind of vehicle you drive, wearing your seatbelt is the best defense in a crash. In 2017 alone, seatbelts saved nearly 15,000 lives. So do the smart thing, the obvious thing, and buckle up every trip, day or night. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
By the way, did you text JJ after his speech? I know you did. It said that was fun.
I told him, great Spotted Cow reference.
Yeah.
Way to play the home crowd.
The second I saw the headline, I'm like, oh, Paulie and JJ are going to, like, because you guys have similar interests in, like, some of that stuff.
JJ Wyatt and I have a casual texting relationship, but we only really talk about food, log cabins, TV shows to watch. Like, he was asking, hey, anything good to watch? He texted me that. He goes, what's good to watch right now?
Yeah.
And I go, hey, have you watched Ozark? He goes, dude, please. And I go, apologies. Because he's like, Ozark, he's watched twice already.
So he's in deep.
He says he has a lot of downtime because I asked him, I go, do you have that much downtime? He goes, well, yeah. Because like he said, you lift in the morning, then you eat, and then you kind of break, and then you go for your next workout. But you got sometimes like a 2-hour break with, you're just waiting for the meal to digest and go to the next workout.
Of course.
So he's like, I'll bang out two shows.
Also, a lot of those players don't go out at night. Like,
No.
Yeah, if you're married, and like it's like us, even if you're 25 and you're an NFL player, you're married, what's the point of going out? You're just going to get hassled at a club.
Complete hassle.
Yeah, so you know what they all watch? They all watch The Office back and forth. Every NFL player I ever see on Twitter watches The Office.
Watt said The Office is his number one seed all time, and number two is now Veep. Veep has moved into his number two.
J.J. Watt loves Veep?
Veep, big Veep fan. Breaking news here. Watt and I traded texts on Veep the other day because I was making the case that Veep has more jokes per minute than The Office because it's a little more rapid fire, more about the pace than the actual comedy, because The Office had a lot of jokes per minute. But if for those of you who've never watched Veep on HBO, I nerded out the other day and I watched the first 2 minutes and they do like a 2-minute bit, then they go to like Veep, and they have like the intro and who's starring and all that stuff, and then they go to the episode. I counted like 15 good jokes in the first 2 minutes of that opening bit, when it's usually like 3 or 4 with any other TV show.
Oh my gosh.
Good jokes.
Yeah, it's amazing. That writer's room, genius. I read a story. They let a writer in the writer's room about the scene. Did you see the scene where Julia Louis-Dreyfus is yelling at the, she's basically lecturing the assistant to the male presidential candidate about how, it is so dirty, dude.
Yeah.
But they let this writer sit in the writer's room. That's where I think the magic of that show is. It's definitely, the acting's amazing, but I think the writers on that show are underrated.
Well, it's the writing and then the actors delivering it at that pace.
Yes.
Because the jokes go so fast, you have no time to really soak in how dirty or off color the previous joke is. You go right to the next one. So you don't get like enraged by it or bothered by it. I sometimes
that's a great point.
Yeah, it's like you hear, oh, did she just say that? But you can't really like digest it too much because the next joke is happening real quick. Sometimes I hit pause because the joke is so good, I kind of want to marinate in it.
Yeah.
And my wife gets a little mad at me, but not a lot. But I'm like, did Jonah just say that? Did Jonah Ryan say that? And I pause. I'm like, I got to play that back. And I just want to laugh again because the joke's that good that I could play it three times and laugh aloud each time. He has a line. He's in a bowling alley. I can't say it, but
you can't say 90% of the line.
I'm getting so much something. And then everyone who watches Veep knows what he says next. I'd like to meet the writer who wrote it and say, what's in your head, dude?
I was kind of shocked that he did not end up being president, by the way. Spoiler alert. I thought it was.
I haven't watched the last episode. Dude. Well, to be fair, I didn't think he would become president, even though that show is pretty jaded that they would
make you felt
Jonah
like,
Ryan president.
You felt like that was the direction they've been slowly rambling.
I'm not bothered by you spoiling the entire episode.
As if like Jonah Ryan's married to his stepsister, who turns out to be his real sister. And that's like the eighth subplot. That's the eighth or ninth thing of what's wrong with this character.
It's so freaking dark. And then Tony Hale, who plays the president's assistant, he half a time he's got like a line where he's got like a word or two, or he just has a look. I don't know if you can.
He's the best at the look.
It's unbelievable. Jim Krasinski, Jim Hibbert, John Krasinski on The Office, he always had those looks to the camera that were a little more ham-handed, but great. Tony Hale, who plays the president's right-hand person on The Office, he has so many little twists and turns of his body and looks, and like I can't do them. I'm doing them for you right now, but my point is that he's got 100 of them, and you just laugh every time, and he doesn't even say stuff sometimes.
You know who else? I love him. He's hysterical. Gary Cole, a longtime actor, plays, I think his name is Kent, like this dry. Gary Cole's had one of the great careers.
I'll sign up for Gary Cole's. He played, remember, his, I think first paragraph is Lumberg in Office Space,
yeah.
But you tell me I could have Gary Cole's career, fine.
What else has he been? He was in West Wing. I can't even remember.
Entourage, he's the agent who comes back and gets in trouble.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about that.
He was Ari Gold's old partner, and he brings him back in the last season, and he screws it all up.
You know, if you see him on screen, it's a good show. He's never in a bad show.
I think we can get Gary Cole on our show.
I think so, too.
God, that'd be nice. It's funny. I would rather have Gary Cole on the show than Will Smith. That's where my head's at.
Yeah.
Now, that's why our podcast is niche and not blown up.
I don't think anybody wants Will Smith on a podcast. Does anybody like Will Smith anymore? I mean, they don't dislike him.
Well, he's not unlikable.
Well, he doesn't really do like it. I mean, like, he's not very personable.
Is Will Smith in any of the superhero movies? How is that?
No, he's not, but he's in the new, he's in the new Aladdin movie. If you went to Marvel.
Yeah, I saw that.
So he's been getting really criticized for that because he looks a little ridiculous. He's the big blue genie, and the movie looks very Disney-fied. So it's a real action.
All right.
Anyway, Will Smith, I read a great critique. I'm sorry, we're totally off on a million today. Will Smith can only act against himself. He can't act with other people. So he's great in I Am Legend, or he's great in a role where he's big and in front. But he's not great when he's in smaller roles. I don't know.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I want Gary Cole. I'm sorry.
I want Gary Cole on the show too. Hint, hint. All right, what else you got before we wrap up the day? All right, let's say, because this podcast is coming out before the lottery. What is the worst case scenario for the NBA tonight? The NBA, not Zion Williamson.
Oh, 9% Washington Wizards get Zion Williamson. By the way, I screwed up.
But he will be in the East in a big media market.
Big medium? No, I don't think Washington's a big media market. Is it? I don't think it extends very far.
But his games will be in prime time on the East Coast.
That's good. But there's something about the Wizards that immediately sucks the fun out of... you're right. They would be fun. But they've even when they had Chris Webber and Juwan Howard, they weren't exciting. By the way, I screwed something up on the show today. The Sacramento Kings have a 1% chance of winning. If they win, the 76ers get that number one pick. If it's below number one, the Celtics get their pick. So the Sixers have a 1% chance, my Sixers, of getting Zion. Is what someone told me, this could be completely wrong.
I kind of want to see New Orleans win it.
That'd be amazing.
I just root for that city, and that'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, except Anthony Davis said he wanted to leave. So what do you do?
Trade him and get a bunch of people to put around Zion.
Dude, where would you rather go celebrate it?
Trade Anthony Davis to the Celtics for all three of their draft picks and get three good players, a couple European guys, and put them around Zion, and you'll have the youngest, coolest team. They won't win a lot of ball games, but man, I'll be good TV.
The number 22 pick, who's that going to get you?
Oh, you watch
out. But I'll give you one last question. You could celebrate an NBA championship in one town, New Orleans, or our city of Portland. Portland loves us.
I like...
Yeah, it's got to be New Orleans. Right? What am I kidding?
Just based on food, I like Portland actually probably a little better, but the food in New Orleans is American one seed material.
I think you know, we're a small podcast. We have to support the small town NBA markets. Let's go all in on the Blazers, the Pelicans.
I'm with that. I love the
Oklahoma City.
Yeah. Oklahoma City has had too much good fortune over their career.
They're too good to be small market. But they're a very small market.
I'm rooting for the Sonics to get back.
Oh, if the Sonics get a team.
We're in.
I'm wearing Sonics gear 24/7.
We should buy some now just in case.
Do they have any out there?
I have a t-shirt I got years ago from Mitchell and Ness, a Sonics shirt. And whenever I wear it on the Dan Patrick Show, I get more street cred than I've ever had in my life.
When we, in the 90s, didn't you and all your friends love the Sonics?
My buddy Phil Tully loved Xavier McDaniel.
Yeah.
And loved Dale Ellis, the shooter.
Oh, who didn't?
Well, I wish my bud, I had this buddy, I think you've met him, Phil Tully out of Chicago.
Sure.
He was very counterculture when we were in high school. He always liked teams that weren't good. He was Clippers, Sonics.
Oh, he's that guy.
Oh, he was that guy. He only liked music that was not on the charts.
Yep.
But I learned a lot about music from him. And he only liked teams that were not popular. And I don't even think they had... he's the one who told me about REM. I thought the name of the band was REM. He goes, dude, they're REM. And I'm like, fill me in. And
we've all been there.
They were a college band, though. And he's like, this is the band you should... He told me, he goes, watch out for these guys.
So we've hit in this podcast Ben Simmons trades, Gary Cole's career retrospective, an idea for a live sort of blog
Sopranos
thing.
Reboot.
Phil Tully's music taste.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
I think this was one of our best episodes.
Probably.
Today, this week. All right, that's it. We're the Leisure Men. We're done.